So is she in the middle of like a psychotic break, is what you're saying?
No, I think it's a track that's something opened up. I remember some Deborah students I work with that have drug experiences, and something opened up, and then integration's not easily found. They're kind of like a loose end.
I can relate to that.
It's still very connected to something, but their interpretive mechanism about what that is really
yeah.
There was a super strong sense of self, which I think really kind of muddies up the works. And says, well, I experienced God, so I must be God.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened to me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was a psychotic break. Mental hospital stay.
Wow.
That was exactly what happened.
Interesting.
I'm looking forward to that.
The food wasn't bad, I'll give it that.
I mean, I'm kind of tired just being my ordinary self. You know, psychotic break sounds like, I mean, a little risky, yeah. But I'm like, you know, fuck it.
It's fun for the people around
yeah,
you.
Go for, yeah, go fuck kids. It. Do it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah,
yeah, that's really extroverted.
Oh, don't worry, this one was spiritual.
Oh, that's good.
They
all, that, see, we
said the same thing.
Yeah, no, it's spiritual this time.
If you're going to go big.
Oh, that's right. Go big or
make
go
it
home.
About God.
Yeah.
Malcolm, what's your hand doing on my back? Oh, I'm healing you.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. Lord knows I could use plenty of that.
So when she went to the bathroom, I kind of asked her.
Stole her purse?
No, I asked Great Spirit. I said, look, I have no idea what to do with this. Just... if something needs to be said or done or show support, just let it happen.
Use me, because I'm clueless.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, that's probably an ongoing prayer for many different
Yeah, that situations. Works in all situations. Yeah,
yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I can relate to that one.
Yeah.
Really?
This wasn't at the Zen Den, was it?
It was at the Zen Den.
I talked to a woman at the Zen Den a couple of years ago. She was probably in her 20s, dark hair.
Was it short at the time?
Yes.
Okay, now
and pretty, very
long.
Animated.
Yes.
Might seemed been. A little off to me.
She's been the same woman.
Is she? Oh, yeah, it's definitely the same woman.
About a fiancé and getting married and then not getting married. And
she was talking a bunch of stuff that I couldn't really track, so I couldn't really retain it because she was a little...
She's bipolar, at a minimum.
Yeah, it's spiritual though, Jeff.
Yeah,
I know. Well, that makes it, you know, that means you can take their money.
Okay,
I was bipolar, but I'm much better now.
Yeah, I was bipolar. I'm much better now. I trust you.
So I might take her to a kirtan sometime, a smaller, more temple-oriented kirtan.
Yeah, that's a good idea. She too much stimulus for her is not a good idea.
Too much?
You really?
Because somebody said that meditation
would
not be a good idea.
I mean, I encountered her a number of times, several times
she's
with Dave. Yeah. I know her. She has. She's been around town all this time, or she was gone for a while, right?
Something about her mother.
She resides in Levittown. She,
right.
Lived at a house with other
of her ilk
youth that were, I guess, like a support house.
Remember? Bipolar youths.
In almost the same area where Pat is, but actually might have been one or two units over.
Oh, the same complex.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, she was there before.
Because I remember giving her a ride.
Yeah.
Home one time two years or more ago.
How was Krishna Das? Did you get high?
Yeah. I did sort of long for two things.
Uh-huh.
First of all, 800 people and sitting in a pew. Oh, it's not my idea.
It was at a church?
Yeah, you know, the big, beautiful, gorgeous 14th Street near Rittenhouse Square.
You went all the way downtown.
Yeah, because a few other friends were like really hyped.
And so you were sitting in wood pews?
Wood pews.
With songbooks and the little things in front of you.
And before I, you know, laid out the money, I emailed him and I said, last time I went to a kirtan, it was actually at a temple and it was informal and it wasn't $40.
Right.
Is this a spiritual event or is this like kind of an entertainment?
Yeah.
He goes, well, it's kind of both and, you know, costs, expenses.
Right.
What are you willing to pay? So I went for 20 and they accepted.
All right.
But the venue was strange to me. Like David Kramal, you know, when they get really popular, all of a sudden it goes from this spiritual sweetness that's very intimate to this large
I am
venue.
So hoping that happens to me. No, I'm kidding. I really don't. Nor do I have any reason for it to occur. So.
Yeah, so I became a special case.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you've always been that.
Accepting that because it's like, yeah. I don't want to be a special case.
I mean, even though you're in your late 50s, you're still a bipolar youth.
But without two poles, there'd be no battery.
That's right. But it was still, just all with all that aside, it was a great time, and everyone saw God.
Yeah, there's some beautiful moments.
Yeah.
One's where I got goosebumps and got into it.
Nice.
The Vasudevaya one.
Yeah.
When somebody had shared that with me in India, it just filled me, and then it just came right back.
Nice.
You know, so it was like, oh, yeah.
So that was worth the 20.
Plugged me in. Yeah, I was 23. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there were some nice ones. And others I couldn't relate to. The Sitaram Jai Ram one, yeah, it just doesn't have the same kind of sweetness as
yeah.
The Hare Krishna one sort of does.
Right.
Yes, it's a... And a couple other ones. The Shivananda one. Shivaya.
Good.
But, yeah, I think if he had a female voice to complement his, that it would be a richer...
Did he have background singers? He did solo.
No, it was Nina Rao with the tinctures, and you almost didn't know what she had in her hands.
Oh, because it was so light.
Yeah, but enough, loud enough that you can hardly tell that she was. And then someone with a
tabla.
A tabla, but not an intimately versed tabla.
I see. Right, right.
They're from the center that sponsored the event.
Right.
And
a hack,
a cellist
like me.
And the cellist was.
Hacks
kind of like invisible for a while, but then I saw how he was utilized in the flow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But cello tends not to necessarily have that kirtan like.
Unless you're David Darling.
Yes, I've been in music for people things with him and mm-hmm. hung with him a little bit.
You stepped out of music for people. I'm not there anymore.
Mm-hmm. You almost have to. I remember one workshop, he said, I used to introduce myself like this, you know, and he put his cello in front of him. Hi, I'm David. You know, identified with the mm-hmm. whatever it is that you carry that you're known for.
Yeah, that's right. I always introduce myself holding a big package of snacks.
That's right. I am I'm a provider, a sustainer energy.
No, I'm just a compulsive eater. Oh, yeah. So, topics, what shall we talk about?
Death. That was my favorite.
Right out of the box.
Good endings, huh?
That's funny.
Or bad ones.
Yeah. Not my death, your fucking death, asshole.
Yeah.
What about death has you so...
nothing.
Nothing, right? You don't give a shit about death.
Cranky.
Yeah. Oh, cool. We talk about that.
Yeah. Well, death isn't the problem, then. Death is like the exit door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life, it's the
bit. I like being cranky. Mm.
Yeah.
How do you begin a lecture when there is nothing to lecture about?
How about NBC?
NBC? Is that like QVC for...
Nonviolent communication.
Oh, yeah.
Observation needs... I forget what the other two are. Right?
There you go.
And I'm going to one, so I should do my homework.
Uh-huh. Someone invited you to an intervention?
Annie has an ongoing thing that she does.
Oh, nice. She's the facilitator?
Or she participates.
Sounds nice.
And trying to think of that. It's observation. Needs feelings. Oh, that's feelings.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
What, did I hit a sour note?
Feelings, what feelings?
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm so depressed all of a sudden now that you mention that word.
It's a lively bunch.
I was okay until you said feelings, and now I'm just, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's to kind of not evaluate, analyze, you know, strategize.
Good luck.
It's that other part that just,
right.
This is what I see, this is what I observe.
Yeah.
And this is what I sense your need is.
Right. Yeah, I see stuff, I observe stuff. Sure you do.
You make me feel shitty.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all your fault.
Yeah.
Just give me a scapegoat, any scapegoat.
Anyone will do.
So if you wake up every morning and you feel really tired, morning after morning, what would you do?
Call my congressman, tell him to turn off the chemtrails.
Can you go back to sleep? Can you go back to sleep?
Yeah, but then the dog's in my face.
Can you take rests periodically during the day?
Oh, I have.
Like just a,
oh, believe me, I have. Mm-hmm. But I don't get it. Something's, I guess, demanding whatever life force.
This has been pretty quick onset for you. It's not a slow coming thing.
It's been ongoing. It's a background, sort of. It's nothing prominent.
Lyme disease.
Yeah?
No.
I had that, so I'm pretty sure it's not
be,
that.
It could be. That
really kicked my ass.
I go through phases.
Yeah, but I don't.
Of what?
I don't think so. Oh, other than shortness of breath after doing something physical for a very short period of time.
You need them to put a catheter up your thigh and see if you've got arterial blockage.
Well, I applied at the clinic. I should know by tomorrow if I'm accepted.
Yeah. I mean, they'll
they won't do that shit unless you come into the hospital with specific signs and they test and they find out you have an incident. You can't get in for a balloon job unless you, like, come in through the emergency room. That's how you get in.
Right. You know, or that's a way. Or you can go see, through the clinic, you go see a cardiologist and they do a stress echo or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if they find any signs there, or you have to walk into the emergency room someday and pretend as if you're having some symptoms of a heart attack.
Yeah.
And then they'll run a tube.
Because it is odd, because I've been doing the yoga again that I've done back in 81, the same routine.
Yeah, and?
And I can do pretty much everything. I feel a lot more in my body, discomfort, things, a little less resilience, but it's not like there's any major thing that's pointed out to.
So indigestion at all?
Just a low level,
Yeah.
Sleepy thigh.
Yeah, you got one of those? Is that why you're
cranky? Don't go in and say you have chest pain, shortness of breath.
Indigestion could be heart.
Yeah, indigestion. Oh, okay. Indigestion linked with those other symptoms.
Intuitively, I'm thinking
starts to create a profile.
Yeah.
You could only have a sense of doom.
Sense of doom. Yes, I have orangitis.
Yeah, right. Got a bad case.
We all have that.
Everybody knows
what that is. Orangitis.
Take a guess.
Trump.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's either that or maybe you finally... How old are you?
57.
You're a little old for menopause, but you might be there.
All right.
How long has it been since your last period?
Women have paused. Menopause.
Yeah, it could be. No woman, no cry.
I mean, I've been pausing ever since my youth, but I don't know about
that. I have a cousin who's had chest pain for 2 years.
And he went originally when it happened, and they said, no, you look good. And then he went in again because he felt emergency chest pain. And then they said, you're 99.9% blocked on this big old thing here.
Yeah.
Go make sure they do Doyle's Sound Hospital there.
Yeah. Yeah. 18 hours away from our
clinic is in the Doyle's Sound Hospital.
Don't go to Grandview.
No, my brother was
there. Try to make it there like on a Monday morning. Don't do it on like a Saturday night.
Yeah, go dancing on a Saturday night and then roll in on Monday morning.
Cool. Yeah, it'd be nice just to figure it out.
I think my stepfather kept, before he died, he kept going to the doctor because he had indigestion. It turned out it was his heart.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they put him on Tagamet or whatever the kind of garbage it is to, you know, keep the acid down, but it's really a cardiac issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in the meantime,
all right.
I just take life as life arrives.
Yeah.
I love you, Dave.
I love you, man.
I love you since you were at the School of Sacred Ministries and at every retreat. I just wanted to say that, just in case.
Big love circle for Dave because he's about to see God.
Okay,
I got my love licked in. Now let's go to the funeral and get something to eat.
Oh boy. You know, it's funny. I'm not really. Mortality isn't not the big deal. I want energy to live while I'm living.
Yeah.
But if I have, you know, 2 weeks or 2 years or 20 years,
yeah,
it's whatever it is.
Chances are they can take care of it and they can fix it.
Yeah, they're the plumbers now.
Oh, yeah. They'll stench you right up. Yeah,
but you can still
about,
die.
About the history. Oh, yeah. My father died 65, cancer. My brother died cancer, and he had cancer 38 years before then. My little brother and their new died of cancer. Oh, I'm left. And my five sisters.
It's just me and a bunch of sisters. robust sirens all.
What's that?
Any other heart disease in your family?
Oh, Mom. She had always had nitro pills for her angina.
Jesus Christ, you got plenty of family history going with it.
What do you call it? High blood pressure and diabetes.
Yeah.
My dad didn't die of cancer. He likely would have shortly had a heart attack.
Yeah. You get shortness of breath playing chess. If anyone gets near my queen, boy, I start breaking a sweat.
That's right. You didn't think it was an action sport.
Contact sport.
They're rough.
Yeah. I'm going to wear a sweatband next time.
Yeah, really. Tennis things on your wrist. Yeah, sweatband. A nice tutu with a skirt. Yeah.
Woo. Oh, boy. Well. I actually feel pretty good. It's a certain energy, I think, that
You can also do high dose vitamin C for a week.
I got a few of those packets from Francine had a few extras.
Mm. You mean the powder stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Super C or whatever it is.
You don't have to do the liposomal thing. What I'm talking about is do like 15 grams of vitamin C or more a day. And so you're pooping a lot. And that will help clear out arteries.
Yeah. Oh, clear arteries too. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or maybe. Yeah.
Be nice.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. It will help everything else though.
Okay.
I heard something on the news that says it's helping with septicemia.
Sure.
The guy was like, this guy's going to die, I might as well try intravenous C, and thought she'd be dead the next day, and she was better.
Bouncing back.
They're trying to keep that a secret.
Yeah.
It's too cheap.
It's not a secret anymore.
I was blind, and now I see.
Dave, you know, there is no fucking way you're going to die. There's way too many clubs left.
Yeah, the whole world will come grinding to a halt.
Somebody's got to entertain me. Might as well be me.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's the cheapest way to go anyway.
One thing I noticed about awakening or something, at the end of the moment, when I'm uncomfortable sometimes, and I'll make up an excuse to, oh, I got to go now, I got to do this, to do that, or, you know, get up, change the subject, move, do something. And I just caught myself and thought, what if I don't do that? What if I just stay with it? Mm-hmm. And just let it be what it is and go through it, not divert, not run, not fill, not even empty. You know, no antidote to the presence. Just let presence be what it is and don't let it compel me to change something. For that matter, not to change something, but to not be driven by that, a certain throne urgency or getting away from discomfort. And I'm referring more to emotional in conversation or something that's...
Feeling.
That's like that. I said, Lassie comes on, okay, hon, get the tissues. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, Beth saw a nice cartoon. There was a guy drowning, you know, and there was a collie, you know, and the guy yells to the collie, Lassie, get help. And the next frame, Lassie's on a couch at a psychiatrist's office.
Oh my god. Would this be your first responder? First responder, yeah.
I'll tell you, it's fun not to talk about spiritual shit. Spiritual shit blows. Fuck.
Well, the fire alarm went off where Lisa is, and she ended up with an anxiety attack.
Oh, no.
So she's spending the night at her home tonight.
Really?
And Kyle's there.
Oh. Hmm. It's her birthday today.
Is it?
Yeah.
How'd you know?
We saw her.
We know shit.
So there's an
anyway, a coincidence. At 11 a.m. this morning.
And that gave her...
And it was so loud, and it was so whatever it was, it freaked her out. So she's looking at the house.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay.
Well, so she got home safely? And
well, she's not there permanently. It's just for the night. Mm. But she's considering maybe coming back earlier.
It kind of blows when you're safe haven. It's no longer a safe haven.
I know. She loved it until that event.
The place was nice.
Yeah. This world will squeeze you. Like, you go for a safe haven, and pretty soon it'll end up turning into a prison. And pretty soon you're out of safe havens, and all you're friggin' left with is your head.
That's not safe.
I know.
Everyone knows that's not safe.
Don't leave me alone in here.
Don't worry, it won't be long before the termites take you out.
Really, this is a path of, like, it's sort of like the road just gets narrower and narrower until it's like, Uncle! Seriously, Uncle.
Yeah.
And then you wake up one morning, you're like, good to go again. Cool, I beat it.
Right, I beat it, yeah. I can face the world again.
So what do you think it is that in us that... gives us the impression that it's all about us. You know, the world, everything that comes through us, it obviously has to do with us, me.
Yeah.
That kind of ownership thing, you know?
Well, I think it's, I think it's more the, you know, the question is, how does this irrefutability become owned?
Mm-hmm.
Or how does it own one?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I don't think anyone's actually going to get to the bottom of the presence of this irrefutability. You know, no one's made all that much progress so far. The Big Bang thing is like, you know, come on. And the whole biology thing is like, come on, you know. So what, you know, was there some kind of conversion factor, or is there a genesis of either owning or being owned?
Well, it's interesting that you have an event. There's something that recollects and then something that talks about it. But it's already gone, as is often said here. And the people that are listening to that sound as a story,
yeah,
it's almost like giving them cold soup or something.
Well, that's right, because they're gone too. The listening is gone, right? The one speaking is basically just streaming in goneness. And then the listening, whether it's the listening of the one that's doing the speaking or the listening of so-called others, is also a streaming forth of goneness. Yeah. And that's kind of fun. You know, that's fun to notice. I mean, it could be a little nauseating, but it's worth it. That instead of inhabiting this from the point of view of the streaming forth of identified imagination, and identified imagination is a metaphor for either owning or being owned, instead of that, there's just, right, this goneness. It doesn't disappear, but it's, I mean, is this occurring or is it leaving? Is it refreshing or is it evaporating? Which one more than the other? And if both, which one precedes the other? And if neither?
It's almost as complicated as those eye exams.
Yeah.
This or this?
Right, yeah. Number one or number two?
Well, it's kind of funny if I emphasize any point in that sequence.
Yes.
I have de-emphasized presence.
That's the Heisenberg uncertainty.
It's like, there it is. Oh, well, it's now. What are you talking about? Oh, about that. Well, that's gone already.
Nice.
What do you got now?
You don't. Right? So, you, I mean, that observation is cool. Because the typical way we could say mind apprehends presence is not through the bias of gone, but it's through the bias of having found. And having found is another synonym, we could say, or metaphor for owned or be owned or owning. Right? Yeah. That's found.
I was lost, but now I'm found.
Yeah. So, well, you know, what we call this sense of being owned or owning is simply the words that we use to refer to found, the found side of the coin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But would you use the same vocabulary if you were now for fun attuning with the gone side of the coin? If you're hanging in the gone side rather than the found side of the same irrefutability, would you use the same vocabulary? Would you have the same sense of durability of self if you were like, gone, 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 right? You wouldn't.
Yeah, it's an oxymoron.
Yeah, that's nice. That's right. It's, you know, it's like
what can you point to?
That's right.
If there's a goneness.
Oxymorons. That's like eight morons, right? No, that's clean morons.
Yeah. An oxycontin is what you put in your ears when you can't stand.
Eight clean morons taking oxycontin. Got it. So what's an oxymoron to you? That's easy. Eight clean morons taking OxyContin. Oh, that makes sense finally.
Well, I had a real visceral sense of this. It was one of the pairings that Jeannie had us do, and I forget either Jeannie, it was either Jeannie or what's his face.
They all blend.
Yeah, they do. But you're sitting with somebody, and I think it was you just notice something in your visual field or your experience, and you put a word out related to it.
Sure.
And I'll be damned if every single time a word went out, it was like really clear that was not the
wrong
case. Wrong. Over and over again. Wrong. Like you were so far beyond it by the time it came out of your mouth.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It was amazingly like, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, you were rounding Pluto by the time that was just passing, yeah. You know, the moon.
It was like just trying to
grab
a gnat out of a whole swarm and you never
there you go.
One.
I mean, that's fun. I mean, that's a clear symptom of paying attention to gone, mm-hmm. rather than paying attention to found.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can see what happens in one's own experience. If you're attenuating to found, then you're in the nuisance of I am. Mm-hmm. Oh God, it's so boring. I am so boring. Right, my mind, my sensations, my feelings, and the way that I reproduce myself in relationship with myself or somebody else or inanimate objects. Right? It's like, oh my God, you're so predictable. I can't stand you. And that's the problem that the company's found. That's samsara. Samsara is found. Nirvana is gone. Because if you're attenuating to gone, which is the same as found, absolutely the same as found, because there's not two things here. There's not. So found and gone, same. My mom tells a really funny story, very funny story. When she and my dad were dating, he introduced her to his aunt and uncle. He had several, but this was a particular aunt and uncle, and both of them were deaf. And so he brings my young mom over to meet them, but somehow forgets to tell her that they're deaf. That's not even the funny part.
Why are they doing that? I can only imagine.
So Sadie, lovely Aunt Sadie, was using the word same because she could hear just a little bit and she could, you know, speak some. Mm-hmm. She could communicate, you know, in her way. She just kept repeating that word, same, you know, in a kind of an awkward voice that a deaf person, right, would use. So my mom would tell the story and she would just go, same, having no idea what was there. She was like, same. Ted, what the fuck? That was an oldie but goodie in our family tree. Yeah, so here's gone and here's found. And without too much paradox or oxymoronic dos, we could say that they occupy the same space, the same moment. The same irrefutability is as much gone as it is found. You can't really emphasize one over the other, nor can you suggest which one precedes the other, because they are this gone, found and gone and found, and you're like, I'm done. Really, it's that easy. I mean, there's your liberation. It's on a silver platter. Here it is, gone and found. No way to discern or assign either a precedent or a hierarchy. Gone and found.
I think the word you're looking for is confound.
Confound. Yeah, that's right. As in Kung Fu. Yeah, that's it. You know, thanks, Nirsagadatta. That was easy. Here it is. This is it. Gone and found. No hierarchy, no precedence.
as an irrefutable concomitant, call it simultaneity, and those don't mean anything because it has no duration. And so from this so-called field, you play, one plays, we could say the human plays, the game of found. And the game of found, the game of found, depending on which philosopher we're looking at that week, looks all these different ways, right? Can be expressed with all of these kind of, you know, beautiful, poetic, congenial metaphors about the condition of the species, and whether a homo deus is a good thing or not so much.
No, but really, it's all about me.
Well, of course it is.
I've forgotten so quickly.
Well, because it's a thing, because it is, if anything is, a singularity, meaning you never, you cannot find anything other than this, other than so-called it. And whose experience do you know? Your own, only. It has to be all about you. Where else could it go?
Right, but the narrative doesn't have to be so strongly referenced.
Well, yes. So that's what the
early example.
That's what all the yogas and all the JYNs and all the teachers are about, up to a point, mm-hmm. is trying to wean one's loyalty from the painful narrative of self. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what? It turns out that doesn't work. The reason it doesn't work is because any strategy that you deploy to reject one form of hypnosis, to replace it with a more congenial form of hypnosis, is not going to free you from gone and found.
Because it's in service to a self still.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because the objective, let's face it, when you dole out cash, whether it's therapy or whatever it is, ayahuasca, you know, keep going, your motivating force is, how do I feel better about myself? Or how do I feel better about, you know, this, which is, how do I feel better about myself? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as long as the motivating ameliorative is, how do I feel better about myself? Well, you remain, right, a card-carrying member of found. Yeah, you remain a card-carrying member, just one side of the coin. Because one has, really, without cultivating it, one has absolutely a belligerent relationship with gone. A belligerent, defended, refused, relationship with gone. So we're jammed into found. And then we're, ameliorative grasping. Whether it's through the use of one or a thousand forms of addiction, or recovery from those addictions, or anything else on the spectrum of how to improve, what about me?
That's interesting, because I'm thinking of the friction of some major religions.
Yeah.
And the friction is a result of found.
Oh, yes.
But a different found. We found it. We found it. Wait a minute. That's not right. This is right. No, this is right. That's content.
Yeah, you could say the same moment that you found something, you're ready to behead someone else. It doesn't take long. I mean, the divisive nature, right, of found is legend. Look at us. Look at our populism and our nationalism and our ethnicities and our sexism and chauvinism, on and 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 on. You line up all the symptoms of everything that's, you know, like way cool and way disappointing about humanity. You're just seeing, you know, a long epic poem of found. Okay. Yeah, it's not going anywhere. Found isn't going anywhere. Why could it? Why should it? Because found turns out to be gone. If you're lucky, and when I say lucky, I mean it in the way that I mean it. Most people wouldn't agree with what I'm implying by lucky. If you're lucky, you get a really strong whiff of gone. If you're lucky. And then gone starts to stalk you. It does. Gone stalks you. And
to kind of keep you empty?
I mean, you know, the motive is only a poetic one, right? Right. It's like, why does Santa Claus, you know, even forgive us at Christmas? Like, I don't know. Santa Claus loves to forgive. So it's the same reason why Gone is chasing you, because it likes to.
That, to me, that's the richness of not having an agenda.
Yeah.
Or a prescription, or a roster,
yes,
a syllabus.
That's right. Because the syllabus, even the most altruistic syllabus, like our dear friend Adams, you know, for the time being, the Save Us syllabus, right, in parts of the world that are less fortunate as our so-called parts of the world, is found, doesn't mean to dissuade anyone from generous works. I like to, you know, flirt with generosity sometimes just to see if I can handle it. Most of the times I fail, but, you know, I keep trying.
But it is interesting if you poke at it, you get to find out if it does have a selfish motivation or if it's if it's natural.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I looked at a bunch of studies. It's usually just to assuage feelings of guilt.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
So whether it's not, that's the motivation, that's one of the effects.
Yeah. Right. Generosity for the sake of feeling better about myself.
I'm going to use you, poor motherfucker, because I feel so guilty.
Yeah, it could be that.
If you don't cooperate and give me that.
Guilt,
then I'll come back and...
Then I'll chop your head off.
Yeah.
Right. I'll burn your village down, you ungrateful bastard.
You prayed for Gone.
it's gone. Yeah. So it, you can see by default, again, poetically speaking, that we're very accustomed to found. We're reinforced through, you know, all of the institutions that we're raised by to participate successfully, competitively, selfishly, nationalistically, and found. And so we're just, you know, inebriated by, let's just say, you know, materialism.
Doesn't fill the hole.
No, it can't. Right. Well, the whole, I think the whole is great. I mean, it's both a literal and a figurative metaphor for the wormhole of Gone. Yeah. Mm. What we might refer to as, you know, the whole of, of discontinuity, meaninglessness, you know, psychic anxiety or despair.
Like the space of whole.
Yeah.
As opposed to the wholeness of whole.
Yes. That, you know, that phrase, you know, filling the whole is, I would say it's a very practical, you know, reference to the revelation of Gone, which we can't handle. We can't handle Gone. We don't know how to respond or articulate or use Gone as a way to hold a salon. This is a Gone salon.
It's better than a head-pin salon.
Yeah. These kinds of conversations, you know, however they may occur, in the hands of, you know, adults that are capable through whatever, you know, gifts to hold this kind of a salon, this is a salon of Gone. Where you are buoyed, encouraged, nourished to breathe in the aroma of Gone, and therefore relax to whatever extent you can from reinventing yourself for the benefit of everyone else, which is what our friend Adam was doing at that little, you know, dinner soiree. Yeah, because he's not yet, let's say, fond of or been introduced to Gone. And might not be ready to, you know, sip from that wine glass.
And that's a different gone than some impetus from someone that wants to be free of some content that's suffering.
Yeah, that's the problem. See, wanting to be free, we can understand. I mean, what the hell else can we do? I mean, you know, having found shit is a kind of a state of misery. So, you know, sooner or later, it's going to appear to you that I don't know what it is, but I just can't shake this awkward feeling I have of being profoundly disappointed in everything I've found. Yeah. So that often is a conscious or semi-conscious or unconscious motivating factor to respond to the apprehension of found, that which is found. Yeah. And in so doing, you could say there's that lovely process of gone stalking your ass. But gone takes its sweet time, though it has none. Gone is this. I mean, where are you going? Gone, 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 gone. You don't have to go to the Himalayas. You don't even have to find a chicken across the road. You're gone right where you are. Always right where you are. As you are, how you are, gone. You're like, you mean I'm enlightened all the time? Bada bing, bada bada boom. Yeah, you're always gone. But we place so much emphasis on found. For what purpose? Nobody knows. It just appears to be, the default habitation signature of what we call, Homo sapien or Homo Deus Deus. Yeah. Wow.
The content could be sometimes arbitrary, like the mother who cut the back end and the front end of a roast. And the daughters watched this over and over again, and then the grandmother was there. Because she asked the mother, why do you do that? Well, my mom always did that.
Yeah.
Well, grandma, why did you always cut the front and the back of the roast? So it would fit in the pot.
So they had this whole myth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Around the need to cut the
that's right.
front and the back of the roast.
Yeah, that's like the myth of having to tie up the cat when the sesshin begins. Because they always did. Yeah, nobody remembers why.
Tradition.
Yeah. Now, the nice thing about gone, there's so many, of course, nice things about it.
Tell us the best.
I mean, we can't say enough about gone. We really can't. Yeah, you
find me some of that gone.
Yeah, I'd like to find me some of that gone.
Yo,
I know.
It's a gone in my purse.
That's right. Gone, going, going, gone. Yeah. Well, if that's how is it that gone is so successful at hiding out in plain sight? Why is our reference point so belligerently? Even involuntarily, which makes it non-belligerent. Why is the adhesion to found so strong?
We don't want to see gone. We're not really up for it.
It could just be that. I'm just not up for it today.
I just can't do it today.
And there's a social.
I'm going to stay with found.
And there's a social note that says, what do you got?
Yeah.
And if you say, gone, nothing.
Yeah.
Nada.
Excuse me. Who else is in here?
Well, yes.
You can't join our club. You don't have anything.
That is true, too. Story. You know, try to go to a nice Buddhist sangha and say anything about gone. You're going to be ostracized really quickly. Yeah. Because all that, all that shit's about juggling found. Come on, man. Listen, we have found way too much. Isn't that clear to you by now?
Doesn't even work in a found apartment, at least according to that one study I linked.
That's right.
I could save over $200 if
yeah.
storage facility is gone.
If it was gone. There you go. So see, you got another positive reason to go with gone. Save money. So that's the, I'm talking out of my ass because that's all I got. You can say that's the revelation of liberation. This is as much gone as it is found. And one's loyalty to found is a fabrication, reinforced for sure. You can find a bunch of evidence to see how much it's reinforced. But that's no reason or excuse not to abandon it. You can discover that you can abandon found with no fanfare, no preparation, no countdown, no robe or fancy cushion. You have to abandon found here now, right? Yeah, you don't work up to it. You can't work up to it. Which is the good news, even though you can do a lot of meditation, and you can eat good food and kombucha and, sleep around only with other consenting adults. You think you can approximate or approach gone, but you can't approximate or approach gone. Gone is, and that's that curious oxymoronic paradoxicity makes it appear as if you're stuck and found. It does. It makes it appear as if you're stuck and found, but you're not.
What's interesting that I see Harrison Ford on the edge there.
Yeah.
And he wants to find a bridge, and there's nothing there. It's a big chasm.
Uh-huh.
And the bridge won't show up until he steps into
the oblivion.
The gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And trusting that gone is not some idea of empty.
Yeah, right, right. Gone is not an idea of empty.
Yeah.
What movie is this?
One of those. One of the Raiders. It's the second one, I think.
The one with the heart, the guy that was stealing everyone's hearts and eating them and stuff. Temple of Doom. Whew, he was cool.
Those were good nightmares as a child.
Yeah, really. Mom!
The one with the chalice. I think the one with the chalice.
Too. Really? The chalice. That's a Danny Kaye one.
Was that the, what do you call that? The cradle?
Oh, yeah.
Something.
I don't know.
Cradle of Civilization.
Cat's Cradle.
Okay.
That was Vonnegut.
Too much content.
Yeah. Right.
Remember the monkey brains, too?
Oh, chilled monkey brains?
Yeah.
Oh.
Boy.
Good protein, man.
That's it.
Take care of that cardiac problem in a hurry.
Inversely compassionate, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Eating the monkey brains while the monkey's alive.
Come on, we got a vegan in the house.
I know, that's like a nightmare, traumatic nightmare.
Absolutely.
Veganism's almost dead now.
What happened?
They just tested the first round of synthetic chicken tenders and duck meat too.
So this was tissue made in laboratory, not from conscious sentient being.
Yeah, they just take like cells from the muscle from one animal, and then they can reproduce like an infinite amount of meat from it. No hormones, no antibiotics, steroids, none of that. And just
Wow.
Chicken tenders.
So what, I'm curious, what's in the lab cultures for it to, basically replicate as tissue?
They take, like, the muscle that repairs, like when you tear a muscle, the
yes.
type of cells, and then they just add, like, the sugar and whatever in the right amounts to get the exact...
They give it the external nutrition.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cells will just, whee! It
grows up on its own, yeah.
Textured muscle.
So what do you think about that?
Time to start eating some chicken tenders, right?
Yeah.
No, she said, go on.
I hear you.
She's not buying
it. Yeah, I know. I understand. Right.
fine.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that it might end a huge amount of suffering of sentient creatures abused in industrial farming.
And I even mentioned before, it takes, I think the current calorie ratio is like 17 calories of grain to 1 calorie of beef, like just farming. Or
right,
ranching.
Yeah.
Now it goes from like 3 calories of wheat to
oh,
like
boy.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah, talk about efficiencies of scale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. So, I mean, that's a great example of human ingenuity. Human ingenuity.
Next week,
an ingenue, an ingenious ingenue.
We're going to figure out how to get these bodies around without using so much fossil fuel and, you know, all the other stuff.
It's an ingenious ingenue suffering from an oxy.
Well, you just need a small chicken tender producing lab in your home, and then you don't need to leave the home.
Oh, my God.
Just do my
I could just wear my Ronald McDonald outfit all day long and just ram, ram, ram. Now we're talking about happiness.
Hydroponic greens.
I'm loving it.
Electric cars.
Well, I don't know. We should give Guy McPherson a call and say, see? We're going to make it.
Mm-hmm. Technology will save us.
Yeah, right. We're going to make it. I don't care what you say, you climatologist. Depressed climatologist.
You wannabe heathen.
You heathen.
He's a wannabe heathen. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. Huh. So we have a strong habit, and strong is not true, just kind of maybe commonly experienced, but not necessarily strong. Commonly experienced doesn't mean strong, right? It doesn't have to. It could just mean commonly experienced. It might not be strong.
Okay.
It could be weak as all get out, but if we don't notice that it is, then it's strong. So commonly experienced, you know, there's no indication of whether this can really keep you from it or not, right? So part of the shift in your own experience is, hey, look, just because I've been an idiot for as long as I can remember, and I might very well be one like right about now, that doesn't mean that gone isn't...
Yeah, I guess it's like the turkey problem of induction, or like, you know, you feed a turkey every day for 1,000 days, and it's like, oh, you know, the farmer really loves me. Like, this is why he feeds me. And then one day he just chopped your head off, and you're like, oh, I wasn't safe, happy, and fed. He was just fattening me up to eat it.
There we go.
At his leisure.
Yeah, you're fattening yourself up.
Yeah.
For the moment that you are like...
And your health trend is like slowly growing. That's like...
What a good 1,000 days. Right?
Well, maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Depends on how your life's been going.
Yeah, right. Right, so whether you're in a lab or not. So that's that can be good news. That gone is. And there is no cultivation needed or necessary. There's no preparation. There's no purification. There's no cosmology at all. Because gone is. So there's nothing interfering at all, not possibly, with you, the gift of found and the gift of gone. It's just nothing. There can't be anything in the way at all.
So it kind of goes, it could goes back and forth in a way. Like if you have a movement from found to gone,
yeah,
it's like a ripple in a pond. It goes back and forth until it settles.
Uh-huh.
In a sense.
Sure.
You know, like something pours a vacuum.
Yeah.
As they say.
Uh-huh.
Nature.
You know, you get sweet with the gone and then something shows up. And then you get sweet with the something and then nothing shows up. And the enticement is from really being tired of whatever it had been.
Yeah.
For longer than you'd like it.
Yeah.
But even that's pretty thick.
Well, yes. Still, I mean, everything is insightful. Any metaphor that shows up in your experience is as good as, you know, is as good as Rumi.
Yeah, because
better in most cases.
Whenever I interpret or take away some formula, or the subtlety of any inquiry,
yes,
it has that element of kickback or a whiplash or,
sure.
you know what it is, that,
yep.
that swing back to another
yeah.
side almost.
Right, yeah, that's
when
right.
When I'm more irritable, which I'm not, I would ask irritable questions, you know,
yeah.
and start poking if I'm present here.
Yeah.
Now I just feel kind of playful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice, a little more relaxed, right? So
yeah,
you can
some good grub too.
You can dance on the lily pads of found and gone. In a, you know, let's just say lucid manner. And you're not stuck on either with either. You're not pining for gone at the expense of found to ameliorate the frustration of found. So you don't mind if this looks like it's found, and you for shit sure don't mind if it looks like it's gone. But in the early stages, gone is terrifying. You're not aiming for gone.
It's like
you have to get used to gone.
Yeah, it's like the sort of student observing the teacher just totally upset about the house burning down.
Right.
And then the student goes up to the teacher and says, "You've been teaching us non-attachment for years now. What's with all the emotion?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "Oh, I'm done with it now. Are you still, you know, it's over. It's,
yep.
you know, it's out of my system. Are you still carrying it?"
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you become an ideal of some conceptual ultimateness.
Yeah, that's right.
In any fashion of goneness or foundness or of whatever it is, selfless,
yes.
reifying or no selfness.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't that be sweet? And isn't it sweet? Rather than wouldn't it be, isn't it sweet that this is doing what it's doing in the way that it's doing it and the way that it's felt? But you are not bound or craving or in any anticipation whatsoever for this to be anything other than the way it is appearing presently.
Which loving is, what is, baby.
Yeah, in a sense. if I may, I mean, loving what is nice, you know, when that comes. But yeah, no, you don't need to love this. No. You know what I mean? Like, I hear you. I love loving what is, but you don't need to love this. You don't need to anything this.
What you're saying is it's like way beyond any normal interpretation when somebody says loving what is. It's way beyond.
Way beyond and at hand. Yeah, because there is nothing interfering with your remarkably lucid discovery of gone. So it's way beyond and exactly this. This is gone.
So gone in a sense can have content. But the goneness is just that you're not, there's not a stickiness in a sense to it.
That's, sure, that's one way to feel it.
Or even if there is, you're not even sticky to this observation of the stickiness.
Yeah. Just yeah. Yeah.
Or if you're more attached to the goneness, it's the content's there, no big deal, it'll be gone any moment.
Okay. There's no end to or.
Exactly. Or if you're content-oriented, well, the space, I have now space.
Yes.
Or I have content.
Yeah. Yes, you know, right.
Have-ness or no have-ness.
Yeah. You just keep saying yes. Because
yeah.
nothing's real or unreal. And nothing suggests any kind of adhesion. And even if it suggests some kind of a symptom of adhesion, there is no adhesion. So you're like, okay, fine. All right, yeah, great. Yes, love it. Oh, okay, no. Whatever. Fine.
It's like isometrics.
I mean, you don't have any commentary.
You know, compression.
Yeah.
With the body without one.
That's how you make a diamond, right? You take a secret fucker and you just squeeze them for a long time.
Now we can see right through you, buddy.
That's right. Now you're translucent.
Translucent and falsely deemed valuable.
Yes, that's exactly right. Falsely deemed valuable by the De Beers.
That's a great analogy.
And you'll look good on someone's, you know, ring finger. Well, that's everyone that's on, you know, Batgap. Right? Falsely deemed valuable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, what happened to you? Hey, nothing. How about you, Rick? Anything happen to you? Yeah. Did something happen to you? No. You?
Coming this way.
Tell us about what happened to you. Can't.
Can you just nominate somebody for Batgap?
Yeah, really. Yeah, just nominate
the winner
someone.
Is.
Start writing in.
Yeah.
Start
just get him to call you.
Right. So what's your history? I don't know. You tell me. What's yours?
What history?
Yeah, really. What's yours? Come on, Rick. Are we talking found or are we talking gone? What are we talking, Rick? Found or gone? Do you sell any books? No. I can't write.
He's interviewed like 200 masters, meditated for like 40, 50 years. He's still just...
Oh!
Still a freaking goober.
Strong.
Yep. Goobers are us. Yeah. He might be an oxymoron. I know I'm one. I mean, doesn't it sound fucking stupid for someone to want to be enlightened? What the fuck does that mean?
I used to think it was really friggin' important.
Yeah, really? I know. No, I'm, mark my words, watch me. Don't make me come over there. This is gonna happen.
That's right. There's no neutral. Are you part of the problem? Part of the solution?
Exactly.
With that enamored state of, you're the special ones to be here now in this special workshop.
Oh, yeah. I feel that way.
People that are so
special.
Here comes Matt Kahn right through the door right as we speak. Yeah. Hi, Matt.
Very special.
Have a seat. Let's talk about the Pleiadians.
I mean, I don't know. I went to the dentist yesterday and thought, this is a special time to be alive. Modern dentistry is really nice.
Rocks.
Oh, yeah.
I look forward to modern dentistry.
Oh, good. See, that's another problem. You know, if you have a tooth infection that you're not dealing with a long time, that can also lead to cardiac issues.
Really?
Yeah.
Goes down your blood vessel or goes through your blood, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Same bacteria can affect your heart.
Yeah. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, see? Being a wise guy all these years, not taking care of your tooth, now you're going to fucking die. What the hell's wrong with you?
There is a punishing nasty-ass guy.
Oh, there is. Oh, yeah.
He's going to get you through.
He's going to get you. If you don't go see the dentist... God's going to get you, and it's going to hurt.
Yeah, how is life like pulling a tooth? Man?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, what's the sound of one hand slapping your original face? Now I got a fucking cramp. That's it. Help me. Somebody help me.
Ow. Get this man some balls.
I'm trying to like pretend to be spiritual. Guy's got a cramp. He's not real. He's a fraud.
Charlie was.
You're really. I'll do anything to be taken seriously.
Yoga radio presence. Yoga laughter.
I'll even pretend to be like close to spiritual people. That didn't help. Oh boy. Fuck. You know, it's the whole derivation thing. You find the impulsive, insatiable impulsivity of derivation in the realm of found. Because found is always unsatisfactory. So you're rolling. You're rolling in found because found is unsatisfactory. So you're stuck with, you know, the curious adhesion of thinking that this is something and that it's about you. And you got to figure it out. You got to work it. That's not true. This isn't anything, and it's not about you.
That's it feels good sometimes, and it feels like shit sometimes. And sure. That's just how it rolls. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Get over it.
Yeah, well, that's right. Get over it.
That is liberation right there.
Yeah, it could be. Why not? Give it a whirl.
Then measuring it by found or measuring it by loss, measuring it by peace or measuring it by suffering.
There is no measure for in gone. In gone, you can't. In gone, you can't lift a finger to insist on any kind of lasting preference. Because it's just fucking gone.
Yeah, I was driving today between the madness. I just had the, thought, I guess you could call it, where normally I'm usually thinking about, like, what the fuck am I? How the fuck did I get here? What enlightened
I like those questions, yeah.
Yeah, what enlightened person can, like, help me out of the situation? And uh-huh. I'm like, oh, that's just, like, awesome story that just spun up in my head. And
yeah. Yeah.
And that went away for a while.
Yeah.
Kid.
Yeah. Yeah, you can evaporate from behind the wheel. The myth of deriving from that which is found is just a clumsy way of saying, you love this too much. The I am has got you by the short and curlies, and you love this too much. Now you're just fucked it with found. This has nothing to do with being human. Human's an idea. This has nothing to do with ameliorating suffering. Nothing wrong with suffering. It has nothing to do with being better, more gracious, more understanding, more compassionate, more or less of anything. It has nothing to do with you being more or less of anything. That was easy. All that self-importance, it was just drowning me, you know, in grief. Lifted in an instant.
But even that self-importance frequently will masquerade as, I have to set down my grasping at anything. Like that's another version of self-importance.
That's right.
It gets you on all ends. As long as you're
at both ends, so it could fit in the pan. Ba-doom-ba.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the important thing, which of course is absurd because there is no important thing, there couldn't be, but the important thing. I always want to preface a remark with, you know, like, you really better pay attention to this because, like, I know something. I forgot what the point was. The important thing is that gone becomes real as it is felt, not as it is ideified. Yeah. That's the yogic side of the discovery. That's why some, you know, systems will call it, right, the awakening of the rainbow body, or blah, 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 blah. Because gone is like you can't say nothing about it, though you can say everything and anything you want about it. There's no delay. But though you can say anything or you want or care to about it, you can't really say anything about it. And so it's not of the realm of ideation, metaphor, or representation, because it's just fucking gone. And here it is. This is it. Knock, knock, who's there? Gone. Gone where? Gone fishing. Knock, knock. Can I come?
Don't knock.
Yeah, yeah, we got a fishing rod for you, too.
I was reading reviews of that book, The Rainbow Body, whatever, the popular, like, Dogen book.
And yeah.
I guess this one review was great. It was like, I love this book. It didn't say one thing about the damn rainbow body.
Great. Not a thing. Yeah. They sneak up on you, those Dogen guys. Yeah. Give you a good title, and then where is it? That's the point. You know, that's why the revelation that you can read about in, you know, Enlightenment comic books curiously sounds kind of similar across, you know, so many so-called anecdotal descriptions, because gone is, oh fuck me, right? It's like, it couldn't be simpler. It couldn't be simpler, and there was no possible approach or cultivation for it to become more felt than it already is. So, you know, there's that kind of like dumb fuck thing that's like, oh, woo, bada bing, bada boom. Here it is, you know. It's like, yes, this is gone. Who knew? Why didn't you say so before? Why didn't you say something?
Well, there can be a dissonance, because the senses tend to indicate content.
Well, that's
sort.
Yes.
Even feelings can sometimes
indicate
a central experiencer and a locus of content.
I am. That's the burden of I am. Mm-hmm. That the profundity of the irrefutability of phenomenal tickle, call it the senses, call it mind, call it emotion, call it whatever you want, because it's all of those. It's a cacophony, right, of all of those. The association with those is I am. It's a Descartes thing. I feel. Or this feels, this feels, therefore I am. No. Right? This feels, therefore I am. No, roll that back. Roll that back. Yeah. You don't want to be on the receiving end of I am. Or maybe you do.
So it's almost like we're massaging ourselves out of conclusivity of some sort. An expected result. Or
yes.
Is in a position.
Yes, all of those.
You know.
Yeah, because that's all found.
Mm-hmm. Even if the position is gone is good.
Any position.
Or gone is better.
Yep, too late.
You see.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You see how quickly, right, association creates a cosmology. Mm-hmm. And how naturally we want to enroll each other in cosmology. To, you know, have a better chance of protecting each other or ourselves from the next time the saber tooth comes through the village. Or who knows? I mean, is it adaptive or is it maladaptive, right? Jury's out. Just like, you know, Harari points out, is it adaptive or is it maladaptive?
That's interesting. I just got this image of, you know, for centuries, the tweaking of a keen reactivity has saved this clan.
Yeah.
And then something changed. And the one that was really slow to react and just sat there quietly survived. And all the ones that reacted like they did for centuries perished.
Yeah, right.
And
cool.
The seed was carried by the slow, quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. Harari is doing a great job of illustrating, you know, the curious magnanimity of, you know, the human the miraculous human capacity for imagination being shared, which is the, could we say that is the seed of civilization, right? And McPherson is saying, no. Right? McPherson is saying, you know, from the climatological bias that he has with, you know, great humor and aplomb, is like, you know, didn't take long. Right? So is this miraculous capacity that we have for sharing a cosmology, whether it's a religious one or, you know, a financial one or nation state or populism or fascism or any kind of system at all, financial or otherwise, is that miraculous capacity for sharing a dreamed, right, a dreamed cosmology, right, a fabricated cosmology, because there is no Germany, there is no United States, there is no IMF or World Monetary Fund, there is no Illuminati, there is no. All of these affinity pools are manufactured in imagination. So by having this miraculous capacity for manufacturing affinity pools and then enrolling each other in the affinity pool, either voluntarily or through threat of death, we have the, right, ramification, implication of civilization. So we harvest like a banshee. I mean, look at us fucking harvest shit. I mean, I harvest shit. Look what I do to chickens and cattle and, you know, any other kind of animal that's used for mass reproduction for the food chain. And look what I do to crops and look what I do to insecticides and look what I do to water and look what I do to the atmosphere. And watch me drill for some oil in the Gulf of Mexico. I will really fucking drill for that oil in the Gulf of Mexico like nobody's fucking business. And if it destroys, you know, most of the marine life because I tapped into hell and couldn't put a lid on it, oh well, fuck you, right? So, I mean, across the whole enterprise of the myth of the human species through the miracle of shared cosmology, of shared hypnosis and cooperation, is it adaptive or is it maladaptive?
Yeah, I forget who said this, but it was like looking at things through the Darwinian lens. I think it was chickens, cattle, maybe both of them said, like, you know, from a Darwinian perspective, they're doing really good. Yeah, they're populated across the whole globe. There's millions of them. There's more alive now than ever. But, like,
but they're suffering the worst.
They're, like, pretty terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Survival of the fittest. But being the fittest is artificial because it's, you know, caged, right? Yeah. Caged reproduction.
We can certainly hold the mark for everybody tasting odd things and say, oh, it tastes like chicken.
Tastes like chicken. Yeah.
Like one thing.
It's a universal.
For that. Yeah.
Except in India, they get really, really thin chickens there.
That was depressing.
Yeah. So when you look at the, I mean, really, it's, I mean, it's like, you know, debilitatingly depressing, which is a nice place to hang out. Right? Yeah. It's either, you know, a manic episode of I'm God or it's debilitatingly depressing, like pick your poison. Mm-hmm. Can I just go to Wawa? Sure.
Middle ground, come on.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. When you look at the, you know, the McPherson bias, and then you lay a Homo Deus on top of that, right, the incredible acceleration and social upheaval, consciousness upheaval of the rapid onset of AI and roboticism and, you know, tissue regeneration and self-driving vehicles and the implication for putting millions and billions of people out of useful work. And if they can't work, then how do they eat, right? Does the nation state feed them? And who coughs up the dough? Since, let's say, in a nation like this, the predominant political incentive is to continue to siphon whatever might be left from the so-called working class more and 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 more, and that never fucking ends, into the 1%. class through military-industrial complex and pharmaceuticals and even, you know, Google and Al Larry Edelson and Leon, you know, Elmer Musk, whoever the fuck he is.
Elmer Musk.
Yeah, you know, all over the place. You see, you're seeing the same right capitalistic agenda, which is the siphoning of wealth away from thou to moi, at the expense of healthcare, at the expense of EPA, at the expense of climate change, at the expense of, at the expense of, at the expense of. And so the frightening rapid onset, not just of climate change, but of Homo Deus, is like, no one's getting out of this alive.
It's interesting.
Because the species doesn't have the maturity with any of it.
Yeah, it's like we don't need workers anymore, so why support them?
That's right. Yeah.
Why support the masses like yeah. the once had?
Yes.
And we needed the workers.
Yes, and if the advantage of having cheap labor in a third world country is no longer an advantage because of AI and robotics, et cetera, then I can build what it is that I need here, and I no longer have to underwrite, you know, the third world, whether it's the Mexican third world or South America or, you know, the Indian continent or Pakistan or Bangladesh, et cetera, for textiles and this and this and this and this and this and this. And, this. And that's at hand. That's the scary part, that when it, once it starts moving from, you know, philosophical possibility to at hand, well, you know, welcome to it. Here we are. We are in the midst of a, you know, rather profound and dystopian psychic malaise.
Then there might be some sort of morphine. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like in nature when there's all male fish or something, one of them turns.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of them do, and then before you know it, you have...
One of us is going to become kind. You know, show of hands. Who wants to go first? I don't know about that. Why don't you try it? Let me know how it goes. Send me a postcard from Kindville.
Yeah, but there is some sort of a mechanism, it seems, almost. That too much of a thing alike, something changes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even in one family.
That's right.
You're not going to have two siblings next to each other that are going to like and do and aspire to the same thing. It's
You mean like Patty and Kathy Duke?
Biologically impossible.
Right. Yeah.
Being the same person. Two aspects of one.
There's Kathy, who's lived most everywhere. From Zanzibar to Berkeley Square. But Patty's only seen the sights a girl can see from Brooklyn Heights. What a crazy pair.
Oh my God. I just had a...
But they're cousins.
Every last in my childhood.
Identical cousins.
Sitting in front of the tube like a
I know. Eating Cheerios.
We're really developing our brains here.
Mom yells, the cruise. That's sail. You know,
and then after the sixth time, I go, what? Don't you know I'm watching my favorite
program? Watching my show.
Why are you bothering?
Get out of my face. I'm watching Gilligan's Island. Gigantor. Whatever.
Looking back, oh my God, the development is like really curious. I mean, what we attribute importance to and priorities to.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, well, we're sieves, you know. We'll just gobble it all up.
But there'd be no question if you lived on a farm at 4 a.m., the place to be is milking those cows.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Because then you can end up drinking the milk.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you're lactose intolerant.
Then what do you do? Huh.
Grow almond trees. Tofu.
I'll take nothing works for $100, Alex. Wearing a diaper, petting peacocks. Who's Ramana Maharshi? That's right. I'll take nothing works for $200, Alex. Ask four questions and turn it around. Who's Byron Katie? That's right. I'll take nothing works for $300, Alex. Daily double. Whoop, 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 whoop. Nothing fucking works. I'll take nothing fucking works for $500. Sitting on a cushion facing the wall. What is Zazen? That's right. I'll take nothing worth for 600. Nothing fucking works. Waving your hands around saying, I am that. Who's near Sakadatta Maharaj? That's right. Nothing works for 800, please.
So, what did you talk about in inquiry today? You don't want to know.
You don't want to go there. Listen to the tape, but better off not.
Untranslatable.
Listen, this is going to failure. I don't care what you fucking do.
Jesus Christ.
So you better start laughing as soon as possible. This is going to fuck you up. And it won't quit until you're done. So it'd be a good idea to get a little laughter in along the way. But yeah, not going to be anything left of you.
But the thing is, if you set up the things just right in that game, Mousetrap.
Yeah, all right, Mousetrap.
That thing will drop on the mouse at the end.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. If you set it up just right.
Mousetrap, man.
We should like play Mousetrap under the influence of mushrooms and see how that goes.
Do they still have that game?
I'm sure we could find one. We'd have to pay $30,000 for it because it'd probably be unopened. It's worth
it. Like lunch kettle. You
know, yeah, right.
Lunch kettle.
That's right. What'd you guys talk about? Is that like, yep, exactly that.
It's all gone.
Going. I mean, look, apprehension sucks. Face it. We won't let it go. We thrive on, the insatiable chomping of apprehension. It's like Pac-Man. Like, don't, no. Close your mouth, keep it quiet. You know, Pac-Man's always like, that's your mind on drugs. Here's your mind on drugs.
Mind doesn't need drugs.
You're right. No, it doesn't. It's just chomping apprehension. Fuck.
You have to teach Pac-Man Tong Lin.
Yeah. Right. You know,
eat the troubles of the world. And,
right. That's right. We should set Pac-Man loose.
And poop out a wind. Tong Lin.
Yeah. That's right. Poop out a fresh wind.
Like, how long do you ride that ship? How long do you ride that ship?
Well, you know, it's a fun question, but you've never actually ridden it. This is a little devastating because we're such idiots, but you've never actually ridden it. You've always been gone. You just imagined that you were found. And so through the imagination of having been found, it looks like time has elapsed. Mm. Yeah. But see, that the perspective of the elapsing of time is part of the illusion of objects found. And you've never found one, actually. You've always been Dorothy. You have always had ruby slippers on. And you don't tap them together until you tap them together. And even that's not up to you. Because you've always been gone. You've never been nothing other than gone. Because found is just a apparitional, right? It's an apparitional seduction of gone. Found is an apparitional seduction of gone. So it looks like, oh yeah, I'm found. And then found can look like, you know, the world. It can look like I am. Right? And that now you're under the influence of, right, the senses and identity and the capacity to be hoodwinked for the purpose of building civilization. which will more likely than not, though I'm no prognosticator, go to extinction maybe way sooner than we could have ever imagined. Or not, maybe. But, you know, hey, look. Right? Three calorie tissue, right? Feed the world. Feed the world.
And it was the same thing in the 90s on the Ram Dass tape. He said the same thing about it. Some of these folks are worried about the, you know, end of times and Armageddon. He said, I don't give it too much thought at all.
Yeah. So, right.
If it goes down in a handbasket tomorrow, well, my peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Or the AA, the recovery stuff he was mentioning too, that you get rid of, you know, an addiction. You then gain what? More socially acceptable addiction.
Yes, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one that's approved. It's got
that's
to,
right. You got replace stay. You replace a Neanderthal addiction with a mm-hmm. Homo sapiens addiction.
Yeah, so it
Homo Deus addiction.
An interesting note of selfing and or of the phenomenon of selfing and its inevitable gerbil like nature.
Yeah.
Spinning.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good quote. Inevitable gerbil like nature.
I like it. Yeah, that's a good T-shirt. The inevitable gerbil like nature. Hey, like, what does that mean? Don't ask. You don't want to know. No, come on, really? No, you don't want to know. The inevitable gerbil like nature. Ah! Sangha, the inevitable gerbil like nature. Sangha. When do you guys meet? We try not to.
It's kind of like being on a wheel.
It's too that's painful. Right. Yeah, it's like being on a wheel. Have you felt it? Have you felt it? It's kind of like being on a wheel.
Yeah, for you it's amazing grace. For us it's amazing waste.
It's amazing waste.
Oh my God.
It is pretty painful seeing through all this.
I'll tell you, it's more painful to think that you're not doing it right.
Ooh.
And that all that you're trying to do is going nowhere.
It's true.
Yeah. It, believe me, that's why this is like, in a sense, acknowledging a self, an antidote to that questing, perpetual questing to do it better.
Yeah.
To go deeper.
That's right.
You know, to...
That's right.
To get to the essence of the essence.
Yeah, the essence of the essence. That's right.
Even questing for the no self.
It sounds like an Ivanka aroma. Ivanka. The essence of the essence. Ivanka, complicit.
Oh, you ought to send some of this.
It's already been written. I just stole it.
Really?
That was their, yeah. That was their skit.
Okay.
Ivanka's aroma was complicit.
She's moving in the White House.
I'm so excited for her. Yeah. She can watch her daddy get handcuffed.
What do you know about Planet X?
Yeah. Nibiru, Planet X, you know. Yidi yidi yada yada, blue blue blue. I don't know.
Commander
Gravity.
Zacharias Stitch.
Yeah?
Huh?
What?
Never heard of those conspiracy theories? Man, what's his name? Ken.
Ken, he would jump right on this. Yeah.
Angelo was talking to me about Planet X.
Angelo was?
You're talking about the real one or like the fake Zacharias Stitch one?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, is there two of them now?
All right, well, yeah, I would say there's two. Like, Zacharias Stitch thinks there's this giant planet, like, way bigger than Earth that rotates around the sun at a super wide, like, 40,000-year-old orbit and has, like, aliens and they came here and, like... You know, split the population to make them like.
What makes that untrue?
Yeah, there's someone in
Zacharias Stitch.
Yeah, too much heroin though. Behind it,
yeah, and they made us like mine gold because they had to take the gold to spray in our atmosphere to keep the warmth because they're so far away from the sun. But in reality, there is some small gravitational disturbance that there is some object out there, but it's not like a giant, super Earth-sized habitable planet. It's just like
He's talking about some conspiracy theory that had to do with something Planet X and aliens.
That was like the original Zacharias. Yeah.
Angela.
The Anunnaki.
Yeah, why not?
Like, he references all the original, like, texts for like the Mesopotamians and stuff. Eni and Anaki were like, mm-hmm. Or Eni and Enki were like the two male and female gods that came down and like gave us some technology and taught us to like, well, made us like mine gold for them, and they started off like civilization, and you know they're coming back whenever, you know.
Yeah, they're coming back.
Yeah.
It's, human slaves, huh?
Yeah, that one. He's out there.
Is it invisible?
No, it's just really far out there. Like, really
far. But I mean,
like,
don't you see other things
like we are.
Well, yeah, we do, but it's like the pool you're looking at is gigantic. You know, you can only identify like, so many objects. Like, the Hubble Deep Field is, like, only a tiny little thing. But yeah. They're like, holy shit, there's 50 billion galaxies. Well, like, 100 billion galaxies in there. So,
yeah.
You know, so it's, mm-hmm. It's like they're... You know, unable to scan the entire night sky effectively and see each mm-hmm. thing. So it's, you know, there is something out there specifically, and probably other small ones, you know, like Pluto-sized little rocks and stuff out there. So we don't know specifically what each thing is, but
it's a big eye winking at us.
Yeah.
We just noticed there was some disturbances in the orbit, and we thought there has to be some object out there to exert this gravitational force.
Mm.
We're unsure what it is. And that's, I think, how a lot of the planets were originally discovered, too. Like, the ones farther out there, they just said, like, all right, we have an idea. It can be, like, anywhere from here to here.
Yeah.
From this amount of time, let's look. But this is, like, so far out there that it's like, oh, let's look for, like, you know, 100-year span and, like, half the, you know, observable universe, and maybe we'll see it.
Oh, that's right.
So right.
The farther out you go, the more space you have.
Yeah.
It's
you're looking at, for, like, a speck of dust in, like, the entire... Yeah.
Field.
It's like,
oh.
You
know.
Need a haystack.
Yeah. That's kind of like enlightenment.
And they spray gold all around it?
They needed us to mine gold to spray in their atmosphere so they could trap, like, I don't know, whatever, infrared radiation.
Oh,
or to maybe make it to breathe, and I forget what
they have. They have a colloidal gold atmosphere.
I think that's like spiritual jeopardy, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what they say, like, you know, there's no reason for people, for every culture to, like, build the same pyramids, and they all love gold, and, you know, it's like, oh, the aliens came in here and taught us that, like, this is valuable stuff, and build the pyramids like this, and mine, and...
I see. Just, right.
Yeah, they spliced our DNA, and I mean, there's a million things they added to it, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, like gerbil. Put a pinch of gerbil in there, Billy. Keep him on that treadmill. Too much? Yeah, just roll it back a little bit. We don't actually want them to be on a wheel. Just why do I keep putting stuff in my cheeks and doing this? That's a little high on the gerbil there. Roll that back. Make them think they're autonomous. Do I have to do it myself?
Oh boy. Oh,
God. We might be worse than fucked. I wish I were just fucked. This could be worse. Did you say I am that or I am fat? What the hell difference does it make?
God, somebody misunderstood me one time. We were whitewater rafting and somebody was floating around in the water. I was like, look at that dog. And there was literally a dog, you know, doggy paddling, you know, down the river.
Hmm.
And one of the people that went on the trip thought I called him a dog.
Oh.
He was offended, never came back to meditation.
Huh.
Yeah. But it's interesting.
People are just looking to be insulted.
He just wanted it out, yeah.
Yeah.
Could have called him a gerbil.
Yeah. Is that a dog or a gerbil?
Miserable Mises, you are.
That's what you get for floating down a river with other meditators.
That's right. You should know better. Yeah. Yeah.
That was the very early days.
Yeah.
The beginning. Yeah.
Clear the pool as a meditator. Clear the pool. It's worse than lightning. Everybody out of the water.
Somebody posted a Krishnamurti talking about meditation.
Uh-huh.
It was very sweetly done. I'll have to send it out.
Sure.
Because He deconstructs it. I mean, to its simplest, most beautiful.
He could.
And refers to how complicated the mind is and how we, you know, we have this embellishing gene, you know.
The embellishing gene, yeah.
I mean, I'm injecting that interpretation.
Sure, works
that
good.
Complication, that mind that creates intricacy and complexity.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm sure you see that in the engineering world.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, you could take a simple idea for a simple solution and create this.
You don't even need it in engineering. Try doing a drywall patch with spackle. It gets out of control fast.
Sure does.
Oh, I'm getting good at that.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
I used to hate it. Now I kind of got the feel, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're more efficient. You got the right amount of putty, and one swipe will do, and move on. Yeah, you don't just keep, Jesus fucking Christ, trying to work on this one square inch.
All right, do over.
Yeah, just paddle it. Next.
Clay, man.
After three times of gooping it up,
and
scrape it off. All right, I give up.
I give up. Some things. Yeah, I got fired from a furniture upholstery job. That's how clumsy I was.
Yeah. Is it padding sticking out?
You didn't want
out
that stinking job.
Yeah.
You're pulling off the tags. I said, do not remove
them. Yeah, they got me.
That's right. By federal law.
Whoop, 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 whoop. You're under arrest.
Jake, federal prison.
Really? Did you just pull off that tag?
Remember as a kid, like, what torturing each other with full of the tags? No, really, they'll come and get you. We believed them.
Where's Fred? Doing the 10 to 20 in state. Pull the tag. Hope you get out soon, Fred. Shouldn't have pulled that tag.
Well, he started when he was three.
Yeah, really. Started pulling him at three.
By the time
they caught up with him.
It's like disclaimers on the bottom of emails now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's about three pages.
Yeah. Do not do this under penalty of federal law, blah, and it's like,
What are you getting?
That's right.
Any professional, like
any, that's right,
has a disclaimer. Oh, this.
If you read this email, you're supposed to die.
Yeah.
It's only intended for the recipient.
Yeah. If you receive it by accident, please destroy immediately. Do not recreate.
This email was not actually sent to you.
Man.
Right. Right. Disclaimers.
But I have one on the bottom of my email, too.
There you go.
A penalty of federal law.
Well,
Trump will deport you.
Yeah, right. If you misinterpret this email.
Jeff has one at the bottom of his emails. It's like, if you think you're a person, you're actually receiving this, you are fucked.
Yeah. If you read this as a person, please return to sender.
If you are a gerbil, please come to the
table. Right, right. If you are a gerbil. Have we got an evening planned for you?
A special rodent night.
Right. I love this group. I don't know why. It just brings out my inner gerbil. Go get some water.
I always like it when they stop. And
I am found. I was lost. I am found.
I come here for the intellectual stimulation.
Yeah, really. You hang out with smart people? No, I didn't say that.
what's the take?
A gerbil scale.
It's more
I
gerbily.
About a five.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as we get enough of this, we're going to have a gerbillion.
No, Castellano.
Is this the Enlightenment group? Huh? You caught us.
I don't think anyone can access this material.
anyone with a low enough IQ.
Jim Rick, you really got to interview this guy. Yeah, what's his background? I don't fucking know. I really don't fucking know. But his t-shirts are awesome.
Oh, jeez.
Feeling cranky? Come on in. The water's fine.
No, but seriously.
Yeah, right. No, but seriously. It's like a marathon of nonsense. Any questions? What would be the point?
What is the point?
Can't find one.
We've been taught our whole lives that, you know, there's a point. There's a purpose.
No point on a wheel.
Yeah.
Need graphite.
Some place to go. The possibility of success or failure. We're taught that from the get-go. It's a fucking lie.
I am is very, very sneaky. You know, just the slightest a little taste of that sugar, the sugar of I am. It's engulfing. I mean, you know, without delay. Entirely engulfing, just this tiny little pinky of that sugar, I am. It's incredible. Yeah, so you can, you know, you can get a, you can kind of see like, whoa, what are you up against? Oh, you're up against the sugar of I am. You know, you're like, whoa, that is some serious shit. But to see it in that way, the sugar of I am, then you can benefit from time to time of a collapse of the inventory of self, right? Because it just it gives you a, you know, kind of a chutes and ladders, you know, right? Chutes and ladders. The ladders, you know, help you get up quicker, right, to Candyland or whatever it is you're going for. And the chutes, you know, you have to fall back down. So you can see the sweetness, right? The discovery of I am is just like, oh, that's a ladder, whoosh, right? Takes you up or down, depending on how you want to frame things. But it's an accelerant. Yeah. So when you see the sweetness of I am, you're like, holy shit. That is so intoxicating, so quickly, so deafeningly, so, you know, deeply, immersively. you begin to see how you know, encompassing it is. And it's through that gestalt, that quality of depthful seeing, that the mirage of self, of self-complaint, the inventory of creaturehood can collapse. Otherwise, we become addicted to, right, the inventory of creaturehood. But managing and working with the inventory of creaturehood is not enough. It's not sufficient. You have to be able to see the sweetness of I am. That's like the vision of Krishna. You know, that was like, you know, the chariot thing, right? Arjuna got the vision of Krishna, and the vision of Krishna was the sweetness of I am. And by seeing it in such, you know, the full regalia of I am, then you can back away from the intoxicant. If you see it partially, then the intoxication persists. You have to see it in its full glory and its full entirety.
The irony of that is he wanted to ditch the battle.
Yeah.
He said, oh man, that's so sweet. I don't want to kill my relatives. I don't want to fight.
And Krishna
more.
Said, you have to.
He said,
not up to you. Yeah, right.
So there's that irony.
Mm-hmm.
No self has a... It still has a movement, a motion to it.
Yeah.
An expression.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's metaphorical for slaying everything that you hold dear.
Gone.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Gone.
That's what it was about. You want to cut down everything that he ever thought was real.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I bought my copy of JFK. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna consciousness, ISKCON.
Haven't heard that reference in a while. You should come.
I know.
International Society of Krishna Consciousness.
Yeah, baby. Mm. I never touch myself in the shower. Is that what that's about? I thought it was.
You're not a good brahmacharya.
That's right. I never touch myself in the shower. Okay. Yeah, here's $5. I'll just take the book now. Okay. See you around.
I mean, I can't tell you how serious the spiritual path can be sometimes.
Yeah, we don't know what you're talking about.
I know. This is not that.
Hello, Jeff. This is Rick. You want to come on the show? No, thanks. Nothing happened to me.
Doing a special rodent segment. Come on.
Yeah, really? Yeah, we're doing a special segment on rodents. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah? Count me in.
Rats and other seeker types.
Rat fuckers, seeker fuckers, and other types. It's a panel. With Ratso Rizzo. And the Kia hamster. All right, listen, we can't have that much fun. Because then people could be pouring in here. Hey, look, this didn't happen, all right? Don't come here. Don't listen to this. This didn't fucking happen. Mind your own business.